Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits, where the mercy of the wicked is cruel. That's socialism. That's what I was talking about. The mercy of the wicked. And it is cruel. I just want to thank everybody for the 4 weeks that you have been listening and paying attention to our show. It has meant a lot to me that there's been so much shares and activity and engagement on our Facebook page. It's pretty awesome. We're almost at 1,000 likes, which it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of hard to do to get 1,000 likes on Facebook from nothing. And so it's almost like creating Facebook page ex nihilo. That was the theological joke for you. Anyways, just want to ask people to like and share this episode. Like and share the show. Like and share the page. Like and share completely on your own, not because the government made you. Now, I have an announcement to make, and it brings me a whole lot of joy, a whole lot of excitement. And so, here it is. After 4 weeks of hard work and slaving away for nothing, I have reached the highest level of podcasting. I have reached the supreme network, and I have achieved all my dreams. And it brings me so much joy to announce to you that Law and Profits is part of Cross Politic Network. The Cross Politic Network. Yeah, is that how it's said? I don't know. I'm contractually obligated to say Cross Politic like 18 times. So, Cross Politic, Cross Politic, Cross Politic. Nope, Chocolate Knox does not appear. But anyway, so what are we going to be talking about today? Today we are going to be talking about the one and only fair wage. So what is a fair wage, you might ask? That's a good question. A fair wage is, well, it's not really easily defined because different states have different fair wages. Right now, fair wage is defined as $15 an hour. That is supposedly what will get you everything you ever wanted in life while working anywhere you ever wanted in life or anywhere you didn't want in life, but you've just been there for a long time, I guess. The liberals and socialists are pushing this idea of a fair wage. It's the idea that everybody gets paid enough to live on. And I just want to say, to clarify, that those, even the poorest people in our country, pretty much have TV or an air conditioning or a house. So the poorest people in our nation, not counting the legitimately homeless, of course, but the legitimately poor people in our country still have a lot. And so when we talk about what exactly a fair wage does, it shouldn't allow you to have an iPhone. An iPhone is not something that you're required to have. So anyway, let's get on to it. I recently came across this YouTube video of a pastor at Watermark Church. And this pastor, I was told, is not a preacher of false doctrine. He's not a word of faith guy. He just has some ideas about the fair wage that he believes is rooted in Christianity. And so here's what I want to do, because I think this is really important, because he's a pastor and elder, and I want to give him respect and grace and honor that he is owed. I'm going to play this entire 3-minute clip in full. And so with this clip, since I'm playing this clip in full, I want to give him a chance to explain his entire point in context before I commentate on it. And so we're going to play the clip, and then I'm going to go back to the clip, and we're going to do our regular play-by-play. So anyway, here we go. This is from Watermark Church, and it's on a fair wage.
And it's wrong that we have people that we bring up here, and they'll do jobs that Americans won't do. It's wrong for one of two reasons. Because if we won't work, we shouldn't eat. Number one, right here. Number two, if guys work and we don't give them enough money for the work that they do so their family stays at a poverty level so they need some assistance from the government, that is wrong. If there is a job that is worth doing, it's a job worth compensating somebody for so that they can provide for their family and live faithfully in this country. And so that is your job as an employer. We don't need to raise the minimum wage. You need to know, how are the folks at my company doing? Now, we shouldn't all live in the same house, drive the same cars, but if they can't educate their kids, provide for health care for their kids, if they can't take their wife on a date, if they can't every now and then entertain themselves in appropriate ways to have some fun, because you are keeping them at a certain level to maximize your profits if you're a company owner, that, my friends, is not a biblical process. We've got a major wage disparity in our country. Executives, you ask the common working man how much an executive should make more than them. What do you think the average line worker would say executives should make more than them? According to a recent Pew Research poll, they said, I think that guy has got bigger responsibility than me. I'm just doing this job. He's learned some things I haven't learned. I think he should make 7 times more than me. It's pretty generous. Do you know what the average executive makes more than the average line worker? 354 times more. That is going to create class warfare. It's going to create problems, and it's unjust. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a business owner here at Watermark, I'm asking you, don't make the government pay your people generously. You cut into your profit margins. You love your people. You pay them generously and help them provide for their family and care for them. It is our job. We've got to, by the way, you want to do something great? You give people jobs. We've got a ministry here called Faith at Work, where we're trying to get owners of companies to work with us. It's a program. Get a hold of us. jward@watermark.org. Just email the church. We're trying to work with you in a discipleship-based program to give people jobs where they can provide for their family and be a productive contributor to society. Dang, it's what we should do. It's what lovers of people do. This is biblical, all right? A workman is worthy his wages. And we can't just keep inviting an indigent worker in here so we can pay him a little less so he can make more here than he'd make down there and act like it's some blessing. By the way, if you're hiring and paying for somebody who's an illegal immigrant, you are violating the rule of law and you are a lawbreaker. And I'm going to tell you to stop doing it. You're part of the problem. And the reason you're probably doing it is because of greed. And it's helping you. And it's wrong. And unbiblical.
Okay, that was Pastor Todd Wagner of Watermark Church. And so before we dive into his clip and break it apart, I want a foundational Bible verse. I want a Bible verse that we can go to, that we can point to, that we can say, this is what Scripture says, Todd. This is what the Bible says. And this is important because this is not an Old Testament passage that I'm going to go to. This is a New Testament passage, and all the words of this are in New Testament red. So it's not just red as in God, Jesus is the Word and wrote the whole Bible red, but this is actually in red. So New Testament red. So here we go. This is the parable of the laborers of the vineyard. And I want to get into the parable because this is important. It's important that you know that in order for a parable to work, the temporal message, the temporal logic has to be accurate. An example of that would be if I said that a seed that was thrown on good soil withers up and dies, and seeds that are thrown and that are strangled in the heat or strangled by vines, those are what grow, that would be illogical. And so when we talk about a parable, it's using a temporal idea to tell us a heavenly truth. Therefore, it is vitally important that what the point of the message, the point of the parable is telling us, applies to the temporal realm and the heavenly realm equally. So those ideas need to be consistent, or else it doesn't make sense. If a seed doesn't grow in good soil, then Jesus's parable doesn't make sense. But we all know that seeds grow in good soil. So therefore, the parable makes sense. So here we go. Labor's in a vineyard. Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 1. We're going to probably go to this passage a lot on this show because this is a really important passage. So here we go. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." This is important. "After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day, the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first and the first last." So here we have Jesus telling the parable of the vineyard worker, and there's two important points here. One is that the employers agreed to work for a denarius. This is vital because this is an employment contract. If somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, will you do this for me for this amount of pay?" And then after you do the work, you complain. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, did you not agree with me to work for that amount?" And this is important for fair wage because nobody is a slave in this country. Nobody has to have that job. Somebody might have to have a job for a time. They might have to pay bills. They might have to hustle. They might have to work a minimum wage job for a time in order just to keep their head afloat. But they do not have to keep a minimum wage job for 15 to 20 years. And the employer is not obligated to pay them an exorbitant wage. And we're going to get into why later. But ultimately, this is important just to think about this passage that Jesus says that, one, there's an employment contract, and two, the owner of the vineyard, the employer, has a right to do with his money as he chooses. That's personal property ownership. That's very important. So anyway, let's get into it. Let's play this play-by-play, the play-by-play, the Law and Prophets play-by-play. Can we call it that? I don't know. I think I kind of like it. Maybe we will. All right.
And it's wrong that we have people that we bring up here and they'll do jobs that Americans won't do. It's wrong for one of two reasons. Because if we won't work, we shouldn't eat. Number one, right here. Number two, if guys work and we don't give them enough money for the work that they do so their family stays at a poverty level so they need some assistance from the government, that is wrong. If there is...
Okay. I want to be fair to Todd here because what he said was absolutely true. And that is, if we pay an employee in such a way that they have to depend on the government for welfare, that is wrong. There's an asterisk there. And I want to make this clear. We're not obligated, to pay an employee and give them health insurance and give them all these benefits that the government gives them. We're not obligated to do that. However, if there's an instance where an employer says, "Hey, you know what? Because the government provides health care and because the government provides welfare, as long as I pay my employees under that range, they can get all that other stuff from the government." That's immoral. That's immoral. It's immoral that, one, that the government's providing that, those things that tempt business owners to do that. But it's also immoral for an employer to look to government welfare programs as a reason to why he doesn't have to pay his employer in accordance with the work that he is worth. because the government supplements it. So it's wrong on both count. It's wrong on both counts. So it's, for example, imagine for a minute, a moment you owned a restaurant and you were like, hey, these people are shipping poisonous food that I can get a lot cheaper, and not, I'm going to use that poisonous food. However, that's wrong, but it's also wrong that there's a company in the first place that's selling poisonous food. Right, so it's wrong on both counts. Both are immoral, and there's still asterisks there, and we're gonna get into those on this issue. But I just wanted to point out that yes, if an employer is paying a customer his employee in such a way that less than what the work is actually worth, because he knows that that employer is just gonna take from the government, that's wrong. And we should speak against that. So let's continue.
The job that is worth doing, it's a job worth compensating somebody for so that they can provide for their family and live faithfully in this country. And so that is your job as an employer. We don't need to raise the minimum wage. You need to know, how are the folks at my company doing? Now, we shouldn't all live in the same house, drive the same cars, but if they can't educate their kids, provide for health care for their kids, if they can't take their wife on a date, if they can't every now and then entertain themselves in appropriate ways to have some fun, because you are keeping them at a certain level to maximize your profits if you're a company owner, that, my friends, is not a biblical process. Okay,
that's wrong. The reason this is wrong is because you as an employer are not obligated in the least to make sure that your employee can go on a date with his wife. You are not obligated as an employer to make sure that your employee has health care. You have no moral obligation whatsoever to provide those things to your employees. Now, your employees might demand that, and they might not want to work for you unless you provide those things. And providing those things may be a required incentive to get good and faithful employees. But you are not obligated to provide those things under any sort of biblical mandate. And what's happening here is he's confusing two things. One, every human being is created in the image of God, and they have an inherent value as an image bearer of God. They have an inherent value. That inherent value that a person has, that a human being has, is not the same value that an employer provides to a company. So I can look at two different people in my company, and they can have two different values. One can be less valuable, and another person can be more valuable. My obligation as an employer is to hire people in accordance with the amount of money that they bring me. So for example, if I had McDonald's, for example, and they said, you know what, we're going to pay everybody $30 an hour, so everybody that works at McDonald's can take their wife on a date. Well, they wouldn't be making any money. They wouldn't be making any profit off of the employee's labor. This is very important. A person is not hired. A person is not hired based on a set rate or set pay. A person is hired and based on the amount of work that they do for the company and the amount of profit the employer can expect in return. That's not the same kind of value as being created in the image of God. That's not the same obligation that I have as to see a homeless person on the street. I have an obligation to recognize that person's inherent value, that homeless person's inherent value as an image bearer of God. But I am not obligated to pay that homeless person on the side of the road the same as somebody who has been working for me for 10 to 15 years. So this is important. And this really needs to be said, because I don't think Todd Wagner is a socialist. I don't think that this pastor is an inherent liberal who just wants the government to enforce all these policies. He did say that he doesn't want to increase the minimum wage. He just wants Christians to be the best employers. And they should be the best employers. And we can see that with Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A, that those are low-income jobs that have a very little turnover rate for the industry. So that's because they're treated well. And that is where Christianity comes in, right? But it doesn't mean that Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A have to pay people 15, 20, 30 bucks an hour because they're Christian organizations. They can't do that. You can't pay people based on their inherent value as an image bearer. You have to pay people based upon the work that they do. Let's continue.
You've got a major wage disparity in our country. Executives, you ask the common working man how much an executive should make more than them. What do you think the average line worker would say executives should make more than them? According to a recent Pew Research poll, they said, I think that guy, he's got bigger responsibility than me. I'm just doing this job. He's learned some things I haven't learned. I think he should make 7 times more than me. It's pretty generous. Do you know what the average executive makes more than the average line worker? 354 times more. That is going to create class warfare. It's going to create problems, and it's unjust.
Okay, first off, he's creating class warfare by saying that there's this wage disparity. He's already implied the class warfare. He's already given the presupposition that this is a bad thing. And then he says that it's unjust for an employer to make 300, 400, 500, it doesn't even matter the number. It's unjust for an employer to make that much more than their employees. By what standard, Todd? By what standard, Pastor Todd? Where in Scripture do you see that? Because what I see here is Jesus saying, did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So that's what Jesus says about wage and employer contracts and hiring people. This idea that there's something immoral about somebody making a lot of money and hiring people to do things for less. Like, I don't understand why we have this in our country right now, that it is immoral for an employer to make profit. That's the point of being in a business, is that you make a lot of profit. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. It's not immoral. And so for him to say that it's immoral and unjust, point to Scripture, please. Show me in Scripture.
And I'm going to tell you, if you're a business owner here at Watermark, I'm asking you, don't make the government pay your people generously. You cut into your profit margins. You love your people. You pay them generously and help them provide for their family and care for them.
Amen. Absolutely. Christians should be the ones paying their employees the most, giving them the best job environment, giving them the most benefits. We should be doing that, but here's why. Here's why. The reason we should be doing that is because we can look to Scripture and know that doing so is good for the company. It's good for the company to do that. When a company does that as the basis of capitalism, that helps reduce turnover. It makes sure that your employees are better trained, better prepared. They last longer. There's a lot of reasons why we should do what Todd says, but just because they're image bearers, they have value as an image bearer, is not the same as them having value as an employee. I'm not going to take the guy who comes into my store and sweeps the floors. I'm not going to pay him 50 grand a year because I won't make profit off of that. It doesn't make sense to do that. But here's what I can do. If I had a janitor come to my business and he said, hey, here's the thing. I'm making 25 grand a year. I can't afford to do this, but I'm really good at this. Is there anything you can do for me that will let you create, that will still allow you to be profitable, but it'll give me like the most opportunity to really, to really make more money, even if I can't do it in this career path? Is there anything you as an employer can do to help me make more money for my family? I would say, well, no, I can't pay you more for this job because this job is not a revenue generator. This job isn't one of those. This is a low income job because it's a low skill job. But here's what I could do. I could make it so that you're a contractor, and you can bring in anybody you want to come and clean as long as they do a good job as you. And then you can take your time during the day and you can get other clients because you'll be free to do that. But I still have the same expectations. Your employees that you hire have to be just as good as you are. And so that's an option I can do, but I can't just give him $50,000 because I like him. The job doesn't require that. There's ways to treat your employees well, but we have to remember that there's a value that an employee brings to a business. And if they're not bringing that value, you can't pay them more. It just doesn't work that way. That's not how economics functions. But there are ways to treat employees well. And that was one of them. I thought of that this week.
It is our job. We've got to, by the way, you want to do something great? You give people jobs. We've got a ministry here called Faith at Work, where we're trying to get owners of companies to work with us. It's a program. Get a hold of us. jward@watermark.org. Just email the church. We're trying to work with you in a discipleship-based program to give people jobs where they can provide for their family and be a productive contributor to society. Dang, it's what we should do. It's what lovers of people do. This is biblical, all right? A workman is worthy his wages. And we can't just keep inviting an indigent worker in here so we can pay him a little less so he can make more here than he'd make down there.
Okay, why? So just some background. This is from a sermon on immigration. So this is a sermon on immigration. It's I don't want to get into the immigration discussion right now. We'll save that for another time. But this is a very very strong border position that he takes in this sermon. But here's the thing. Why can't I pay somebody $3 an hour to pick tomatoes or to do jobs that people just don't want to do, like hard labor jobs that require no skill, whether it's cleaning toilets or taking out the trash or picking vegetables out of a field, whatever that is, whatever that low income, low skill job is? Why can't I just go to the person directly and say, would you do this for $3? And if he agrees to me for 3 denarius, then I let him do that because that's what me and him agreed in our employee contract. He's obligated to do it for that much, and I'm obligated to pay him for the work that he does. Why can't he? Here's the problem. Now what's happening is you have people who are getting paid 15 or 20 bucks an hour to do that exact same thing because of labor unions. They're complaining, hey, there's not as many jobs around because people are doing this job for $3 an hour and I'm supposed to get paid $20 an hour. But here's the problem. The problem is if there are people that are willing to do that job for $3 an hour and you're getting paid $20 an hour, you've artificially inflated your price. Your price is not a market. Your price is not in accordance with the market. Whereas that guy who's doing it for $3 an hour and he's able to feed his family and he's happy doing that, he's the best option. He's the best option. If he's going to work hard, he's going to work all day and he's going to do it for less. I want that guy. And look, here's another thing. It's loving my neighbor to give someone a job. It's loving my neighbor to give a sojourner a job. It really is. It really is. And so this is important. We have to make these clarifications. We have to keep these things in perspective. So then, just to clarify, if there's an immigrant and he wants to do work and I as an employer sees that he's willing to work less than minimum wage, am I breaking the law? I possibly, But is that a just law? Is it a just law for the government to demand that you pay an employee more than what their value is to the company just because the government says so? Can the government steal money from me and give it to someone who is not worth that much? No. Minimum wage is a terrible idea. It's terrible.
And act like it's some blessing. By the way, if you're hiring and paying for somebody who's an illegal immigrant, you are violating the rule of law and you are a lawbreaker. And I'm going to tell you to stop doing it. You're part of the problem. And the reason you're probably doing it is because of greed, and it's helping you. And it's wrong and unbiblical.
Or maybe I'm doing it because the illegal immigrant is a harder worker, and maybe he really is a hustler and he has a lot more to gain from leaving his country, coming over here and working and supporting a family, and he's willing to hustle and he's willing to make something of himself. Meanwhile, the other guy who's getting paid $20 an hour, maybe he's entitled. Maybe he thinks he deserves to get paid that much to do things because the government has said he does. Who would you rather hire? I'd rather hire a hardworking hustler from another country over someone who feels entitled to a certain wage just because the government says so. And so before we wrap it up, I just want to get into some things with minimum wage. It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. And I got into a debate with a guy who was in our comment thread on last week's show who was asking about minimum wage, which made me want to talk about it. And he brought up some objections they're not good objections. They're not good objections. And so I want to kind of like just go over a few of his points. So his first point is, well, if you got rid of minimum wage, praise the Lord, tomorrow if repentance hit our nation and we got rid of minimum wage and a person can just go to another person and work for whatever those two agree, whatever they want, and McDonald's doesn't have to pay people $15 an hour anymore and they can pay them whatever they want, will people start get paid just like pennies an hour? Is that what will happen? And I'll just say this. Yeah, probably it would happen. And the reason is because it'll be good for the economy if it happens. So here's why. If people at McDonald's started getting paid pennies an hour, 10 cents an hour, let's just say 10 cents an hour, just horrible China-like conditions, people are getting paid 10 cents an hour. How will they afford to live? Well, the reason they'll be able to afford to live is because if they're getting paid 10 cents an hour, the prices of everything, from the guy that delivers the food to McDonald's in the semi trucks to the cost of getting lettuce from the fields, all these things would be reduced. So suddenly now, they're not going to hold on to those profits because, look, here's the thing. Somebody's not going to go for a 2 for $5 Big Mac if they're getting paid 10 cents an hour. If a majority of the country is getting paid 10 cents an hour, if that's the standard wage that people are getting paid for low-income jobs, they're not going to buy a dollar cheeseburger. We're going to go back to 5-cent cheeseburgers at the time. The prices reduce. So that's what happens, because McDonald's, as much as they might like profits, they like making profits even more. And they can't make profits. They can't sell hamburgers if people can't afford them. So what you'll see is this immediate reduction of food prices. You'll see this reduction of goods all over the country. And what's happening now is that the prices of things are artificially inflated. So a cheeseburger is not worth $1.99. But because people have to get paid $15 an hour, we have to pay that now. You barely see anything good for a dollar on the value menu anymore. You just don't. And that's because of minimum wage increases. So think about it. If I own a business and I'm selling hamburgers and the government comes along and says, you have to give everybody $5 more an hour, Well, okay, I'll give everybody $5 more an hour, but guess who's going to pay for it? The consumer is going to pay for it. So now they have artificially priced cheeseburgers. So people are going to pay more. And this is a true story. This actually happened with my pastor's son. He was working at a movie theater in Arizona, increased the minimum wage. And they fired a bunch of people because they had to decide. They said, well, do we have reduced jobs? We can have that. That's one option. We can just reduce the number of people we employ. Or we can pass the cost on to concessions and tickets. And they chose, I think, to do all three, actually. They had to do all three. So the lady comes in and she is mad that the ticket prices are high. And so what happens? She complains. She complains that the ticket prices got high, and they tell her, minimum wage increased and we have to pay for our employees. And she goes, you can't do that. No, you can. That's what happens. Those costs are passed down. And so man, I could go on and on about minimum wage and just the damage that it causes. But I want to say this last thing. Minimum wage reduces jobs. It doesn't increase jobs. If you have $30 an hour set aside, 8 hours a day to hire employees, how many jobs can you create at a $15 minimum wage? Or how many jobs can you create at no minimum wage? You can hire more people. But as that price goes up, your labor costs go up. And so you have to reduce your labor. So it doesn't reduce the amount of wage that people it doesn't give more people jobs. And so here's where it hurts. It hurts the lower income, low skilled employees. When there's a minimum wage increase and you have to suddenly start paying people $15 an hour for a job that should cost $5, you have to look at your employees and say, which one of you guys are worth $15 an hour and which one of you are not? And you have to make tough decisions. You have to make tough decisions. Here's something, since we're talking about being immoral and unjust. What about disabled people? So let's say there's someone who can't do everything. They have a disability. Let's say they have cerebral palsy, and there's only a few things that they can do, and most of the stuff they do, they have to do sitting down. So they can't do the same amount of work as another person. And you have to decide, who do I hire for $15 an hour? Do I hire the mentally disabled person, the physically disabled person, or do I hire the guy who could do everything? And if you have to make that decision, you're not going to choose a disabled person. So having a minimum wage hurts people who are disabled because they can't do jobs for, say, $3 or $4 an hour that are worth $3 to $4 an hour. They can't do those jobs because the employer is not allowed by force and threat of the government to hire people for that much. So it hurts people. It hurts people. The minimum wage hurts people. So anyways, I think we will wrap it up there. I think we will wrap it there. It was great talking to you. I want to encourage everybody to go to crosspolitic.com and sign up for their club. I guess it's a mug club. What is that? I don't know. They haven't sent me anything. I'm just supposed to hawk it, but I don't get anything. I don't know what they're selling. I'm in a different state. But if you go there, you can get it. You can pick it up. You can drink out of this mug. And there's a bunch of other benefits too. I you know what? I just need to join. I just need to join so I know what I'm pitching. I'm contractually obligated to pitch here. What is it? I don't know. Anyways, all right. Okay. So it was great. Please share this episode, like it on Facebook, and it's gonna be in the Cross Politic podcast feed. So if you want to listen to it, if you want to hear it on your way to work, it's in the Cross Politic feed. So that's where you can get us. And please review the show on the feed. And just tell me what you think. Share, like, subscribe, or stuff. All right, guys. Remember, The mercy of the wicked is cruel. Thanks again for listening to Cross Politics. Thanks again for listening to Law and Profit on the Cross Politic Network. You guys have a great day. And remember, sharing.